Here with a fresh dose of Nightshade for you to make sure Tulsi is still alive too. As we tape, she's still alive. TikTok, Clarice, it's not going to be long for Ms. Gabbard now that she sued Hillary Clinton. By the way, there was a particularly vile Washington Post columnist, I forget his name, Josh Rogan, no relation, I assure you. And he just tweeted out, goes, if you donated money to @Tulsi, know that it's being wasted on frivolous lawsuits against Hillary Clinton in a desperate bid for media attention. He didn't put @Hillary Clinton. I mean, these people are so wretched and reprehensible. And I just put up the poll. I go, who's more desperate in your opinion, Tulsi Gabbard or corporate journalist? And I think as I went into the studio, it was 96-4. You can guess which side was which. Okay. There's a lot to cover today. I say this a lot, but today it's certainly true. Rudy Giuliani. Oh, God. I don't know what's going on with Rudy, man. Like, I don't know. He's not doing so hot. So Rudy threatened today to go public with information that would expose corruption by Joe Biden, who is the presumptive Democratic nominee. He said everything. This is a tweet from Rudy, a former mayor of very failed mayor of New York City. He said, everything I tried to tell the press last March is now coming out and more. I will now start to reveal the evidence directly to you, the people. I don't know why he was sitting on this for this long, but that's okay. He said, the Biden family enterprise made millions by selling public office. That's when Joe was Obama's point man. They all made millions. Giuliani's claim that he could reveal evidence detrimental. Why? Shouldn't you guys be waiting for this until Biden's the nominee? Like, why are you trying to knock him out and put, like, someone who I think Sanders would do a lot better against Trump in many ways? I mean, and I don't want, you know what? I don't care who would do better. I don't want to be deprived of a year of watching Joe Biden, like, eyes, teeth, nose, and colon fall out of his body, like, live on stage. We already had a town hall where Joe Biden's eyeball filled up with blood before our very eyes. Rudy, why are you taking this away from me? I need this. I don't need it, but I want it. So Giuliani's claim that he could reveal this evidence follows his offer to testify in President Trump's impeachment trial, which is currently taking place in the Senate. And he said, I would love to see a trial. I'd love to be a witness, because I'm a potential witness in the trial, and explain to everyone the corruption that I found in Ukraine that far outsurpasses any that I've ever seen before, involving Joe Biden and a lot of other Democrats. Rudy said this Sunday morning on a radio show. Listen, I'm sure that if all the corruption he found, there's a lot worse to be found. Let's be serious here. Giuliani's at the center of the impeachment trial for his work on behalf of Trump in Ukraine, and he's alleged that Biden pressured Ukrainian officials to fire a prosecutor by withholding millions in guaranteed loans. Didn't Biden just basically cop to that on camera? He also claims that Biden took the action against Viktor Shokin because he was going to investigate Burisma Holdings, which is a Ukrainian company that employed Biden's son, Hunter. Yes, that's the crackhead son, not the brain cancer son. Now, Biden during a campaign stop in Iowa, and not the windshield son, Biden during a campaign stop in Iowa today defended Hunter, again, crackhead son, not the brain cancer, not the windshield, saying, no one has suggested my son did anything wrong. He said, there's nobody that's indicated there's a single solitary thing that he did that was wrong, inappropriate, or anything other than the appearance. It looked bad that he was there. He acknowledges that he, in fact, made a mistake going on the board. No one says and he did anything wrong, but he acknowledges he made a mistake. Okay, that sounds legit. So Biden also, it's very funny when you live in these bubbles, and this happens in Trump world, it happens with the, you know, anti-Trump world. People talk to each other and they kind of work each other up into a lather. And then when they step outside this world, they realize, oh, I'm a crazy person, or they don't. And they just sound crazy. And it's really funny. And this happened not that long ago when Joe Biden said, well, look, if I'm subpoenaed by the Senate, it's political, so I'm not going to testify. And like that very day, Elizabeth Warren was like, yeah, if you're subpoenaed by the Senate, you're testifying, like you have to. And he's like, oh, what I meant was it's bull, but I would obviously do it. And now Crackhead Joe is at it again. Here is a clip where he was asked about testifying in front of the Senate should that come to pass.
That my son did anything wrong, but he'd gone on public on record and did a long interview with the New Yorker magazine that for the first time I read it whole lately.
Pause that. Your son's a crackhead. Your son's been made an issue by Giuliani, by Trump, and many other people. Your son's your son. I have no doubt that Joe Biden loves his son. He does. Joe Biden's also in politics since, at the very least, in the Senate since the 70s, probably a little bit before that, right? Okay. You're telling me that the New Yorker does a huge exclusive interview with your son, and 2 years later, you're like, maybe I should read the thing. Really? Really? Oh, for the first time I read it. It's not that long. It's longer than the Denny's menu, Grandpa, but it's not that long. Oh, so for the first time I sat down and read it. They've been talking about him nonstop. Whenever Biden tweets, people, such as myself, tweet photos of meth pipes so that people can say, oh, that's not a crack pipe, it's a meth pipe. Yeah, this happens. Okay, play some more of this.
And he said he thought he made a big mistake going on the board. No one said he did anything wrong, but people say, well, what about the appearance? He said it was a mistake for him had to done it because he didn't count on thugs like Giuliani and others using it as a means by which to try to hurt his father.
Okay, pause this. I have never heard, you know how like, okay, let's look at Epstein, right? Jeffrey Epstein dies in jail and they say the cameras broke. Okay, so there's like a hand-waving reason, right? If you want to find a reason, you have a reason to believe. I have never heard even a theoretical reason, which doesn't make any sense, but even just a bullshit reason, why Hunter Biden was hired in Ukraine in an industry he knows nothing about when he's a crackhead other than access to his dad. Like, give me any theoretical reason. Like, maybe it was his college buddy who was on the company and knew him. Okay, fine, I'll buy it. Something, anything. There's never anything. It's clearly to have access to Joe. There's not even a pretense, the contrary. Oh, well, you know, he made a mistake going on the board because it gives the appearance of what actually happened. What? Of course it gives that appearance because he has no experience in this field or region. This is Ukraine. I'm from there. I don't want to go back there because it's really not like here. You know what else it's not like? Delaware. And you know what? Ukraine probably does not have much of crack. So Hunter's 0 for 3. Okay, play more of this, please.
And there's nobody has indicated there's a single solitary thing that he did that was inappropriate, wrong, or any relationship to other than the appearance. It looked bad because he was there. He did not sign up for a second term on that. But he acknowledges that he, in fact, made a mistake going on the board. But what I'm not going to let happen is, think about everything that President Trump does from the time he was a real estate guy. And that is that whenever he has a problem, he blames somebody else, tries to divert the attention. And it's great. Why do you think the House indicted him in the first place?
Wait, what did he just say? Did he not say impeach correctly? The House what in him?
Indicted, he said.
Oh, indicted. The House didn't indict him. Holy crap. Wow. Holy crap. Go back like 10 seconds. Seriously, he said indicted?
Attention. And it's great. Why do you think the House indicted him in the first place?
Wow.
Because he picked up the phone. He called a newly elected prime minister and said...
Wasn't he president?
Apparently, based on the evidence.
Doesn't Ukraine have a president? Isn't Zelensky the president? Or his prime minister? I thought it was president. I could be wrong. It doesn't really matter that much.
I'm seeing...
Zelensky is his name.
Yeah, I'm seeing president first, but I'm also seeing results for prime minister.
Well, go to his Wikipedia. It'll have his title. I thought he's the president. Because Trump's like, I got on the phone with president. Maybe I'm having false memory syndrome. Maybe we're to the Berenstain Bear situation.
Wiki says president, yeah.
Yeah, he's the president. Okay. What did he say? He said prime minister, didn't he? What did he just...
The phone. and called the newly elected prime minister.
Yeah, okay, I thought
said,
it was crazy.
Apparently, based on the evidence, I'm going to withhold $400 million in aid.
Wait, hold on. Let's pause this for a second. Here's the thing. Like, I am not... Like, I cover European politics in this show a lot. I'm not an expert on European politics. Joe Biden was in the Senate for 40 years, Senate Relations Committee, blah, blah. He, if your son is with this country and this is the central issue that is affecting your campaign, you need to know, and this, you need to know whether it's a prime minister or president or your brain's not working right. This is no joke. It's like when people talk about Trudeau being president of Canada, like it's a real country. Like, this is something, these little things, can you imagine if Trump did that? Can you imagine? How come no one hears about this? I'm the only one who has to, I have to do all the work. I'm the only one who catches this stuff. And this isn't even on. I can't even do the noises. Okay, boomer moment. Okay, let's play the rest of this, please. Wow.
That your folks need in order to keep the Russians from killing your citizens. Unless you announce, you don't have to do anything, just announce you're going to investigate Joe Biden.
He didn't say that. He didn't say to announce. He said he was going to do it. Wow. Finish this off, please.
Did that. Well, yeah. It's scared beyond that. You know, George Washington in his...
Wait a minute. Hold on. Pause this. The call was... I feel like I'm going crazy. The call was, hey, can you do me a favor? Can you look into this Biden and what hell went on there behind the scenes? He didn't say, can you make an announcement? If anything, it implies the opposite. Like, hey, between you and me, just figure out what's going on there and give me the dirt. It wasn't make an announcement that you're investigating. Fuck. I think this is, I don't know if this is lying or dementia, but it's a fun mix. That's for sure. Whew. Okay, we're going to move on to the next story because this one is not fun at all. This is a very, very big deal. Okay, Annabella Sciorra, actress. We're talking about the Weinstein trial, which is ongoing, Harvey Weinstein. She recounted to a jury how Harvey Weinstein burst into her apartment sometime in the winter of 1993 to 94, pinned her to a bed, and raped her, leaving her so traumatized that she began to shake so much she thought she was having a seizure, oh God, by the seashore. As Weinstein sat at the defense table, looking down, writing in a legal pad, she recalled that she had tried to fend him off during the encounter. She says, I was punching him. I was kicking him. She was looking at the prosecutor and the grand jury at the jury as she spoke. She said, I was just trying to get him away from me. He put my hands over my head to hold them back, and he got on top of me, and he raped me. He put his penis inside my vagina, and he raped me. You know, it's like we would make those jokes about like how he would watch women make – he would force women to watch him shower or jerk off into a potted plant. Like that's kind of ha-ha-ha in like a weird dark sense. This – is not it, to use a horrible expression. Raising her arms in the air, she showed how she said Weinstein on top of her, put her hands over her head, and she was unable to fight him off because he had my hands locked. At a certain point, she said, he came out of me. When she was asked by the prosecutor what Weinstein did next, Sciorra said, Harvey said, I have perfect timing. He then proceeded to put his mouth on her vagina, and before he did that, he said, this is for you. Oh, God. This remake of The Fountainhead leaves a lot to be desired. He said, I didn't have much fight left inside of me at that point. She said, no, there was not much I can do. She said, at that point, my body shut down. It was so disgusting that my body started to shake in a way that was very unusual. It was like a seizure. She said after he left, she's not sure if she fainted or fell asleep or blacked out. She says, I don't remember the immediate reaction when I woke up. I don't remember much except for feeling disgusting. I'm sure there's also an element of many traumas. There's an element of surrealism. Like you're like, did this really happen? It's just so removed from day-to-day reality that your brain has trouble processing it, especially if it's someone famous who you see on TV and you think it doesn't kind of compute. She did not report the assault to the police. She said at the time she didn't know what constituted the crime of rape. Man, these actresses, huh? She said she thought it had to do with sexual assaults in back alleys and at gunpoint. In this case, she knew Weinstein, having already done a film project for Miramax. She said, I felt like he was a nice person. I thought he was an okay guy. I felt confused. I felt like I never should have opened the door. She did call her brothers to come over, but they didn't. She said, I wanted them to come over to protect me. Her brother's girlfriend came over, but she did not tell her, nor did she tell her brothers or friends. She started retreating from her friends, secluding herself in her apartment, started drinking and cutting herself. Oh, God. This sounds so true. This is the pattern. And started to paint a room from white to blood red with tubes of oil paint. She said, I would put blood from my fingers and my hands into this masterpiece. Wherever I put blood, I would put pieces of gold leaf to mark it. Well, there goes the security deposit. She said that when she later saw Weinstein, she brought up what happened. She said, I told him how I'd woken up, and I told him how I blacked out and fainted. Oh, my God. And he said, that is what all the nice Catholic girls say. And he also told her, this remains between you and me. When they're this specific and this kind of twisted, I very, very heavily tend to believe the person. Because if this woman doesn't know what rape is, I don't think she's as creative to think of a twisted line like that. But that's just me. She said, it was very menacing. His eyes went black, and I thought he was going to hit me right there. She also said the night of the assault, he had given her a ride home from Miramax dinner at a Manhattan restaurant to her Gramercy Park apartment. She said the conversation on the ride was uneventful, and he just dropped her off, and she went up to her unit. When she got dressed for a bed in a nightgown, she heard a knock at the door. Even though her building had a doorman, she answered, and he was there. He pushed the door, and she said that she didn't have time to understand why he was there. He started to sort of walk around and began to unbutton his shirt. And then she says, I realized he thought we were going to have sex. Adding that she made clear she was not interested, and I told him he had to leave. She's the first. Oh, there's a lot of these women. This is just horrific. She's the first accuser to take the stand in Weinstein's sexual assault trial. Her allegations are too old to prosecute on their own, but she's part of the prosecution's case as they pursue charges that he was a serial predator. He's 67. He faces 5 charges of sexual assault stemming from allegations by 2 women relating to incidents in 2006 and 2013. They also are expected to testify. Weinstein has insisted that all the sexual encounters were consensual. If convicted, he could face life in prison. I don't believe that when you have a series of women who are making the same argument that they're all lying. I just don't. And I don't think most people do either. As Shore testified, Weinstein only occasionally looked at her, instead focusing on taking notes. His view of the witness box was obstructed a bit, but when she was asked to identify the defendant, she stood up and pointed at him. He looked directly at her as she was asked to describe what he was wearing, which was a black suit and white shirt. But there's more. Now, prosecutors also want to call. You know what's funny on these you have these shows, these court shows or legal shows, and they're nothing like how the law works in reality. And like surprise witness, like it's like that's not a thing. Well, there is. They want to call Rosie Perez as a witness to bolster her claims, Annabelle Shore's claims, that Weinstein raped her. Weinstein's attorneys are objecting to Perez's planned testimony, basically because she can't speak English. And the judge has yet to decide whether to allow her to be called as a witness. Prosecutors see it as a key piece of evidence to corroborate parts of her story. On today, she had testified, Annabelle Shore, for about 5 hours. That's not, I mean, to testify anything for 5 hours, but about a traumatic assault. And she also faced extensive cross-examination from Weinstein's attorney, who tried to establish inconsistencies in her story. Among the issues the defense attorney raised was whether Shore had told anyone about her claims against Harvey Weinstein. Oof, just awful, awful, awful stuff. Let's move on to something lighter, something a bit more fun. Dan Scavino is the White House social media manager, and they retweeted this little cartoon making fun of pencil neck Adam Schiff. What?
Retweet!
Oh, it's got the hair. Shifty Coyote. Oh, I get it. This. What?
Retweet!
It instant destruction. I don't get it. This is
like a real episode of Looney Tunes.
It's like, doesn't that mean that Trump is like shifty and hard to catch? That doesn't mean he's the good guy necessarily. It just means that he's like quick. I mean, if anything, you could look at it as that Schiff's not going to give up to take down this villain. And this train iconography has certain connotation. This is so bad. This is so bad. Okay. I don't understand what I just saw. And I don't know why they're talking about it on the internet, because I don't think it was very clever or interesting. It was well done, I guess. I mean, I feel like it's not always clear in those videos that the Roadrunner is like the good guy. Like, it may be, yeah, but the Roadrunner is just kind of an asshole also, because he's always laughing at Wile E. Coyote kind of getting dismembered. So it's kind of like two trickster figures there. I don't know. Anyway, we've been covering Lindsey Graham and how he's been going super cyan in recent days over impeachment, and that has continued today. So I got to tell you, you know, Lindsey Graham during the campaign very much held himself up to be this honorable guy, and Trump's the shady asshole. And now he's playing one of Trump's games, and it's kind of just asking questions stuff. Like, I'm not saying Obama wasn't born in America, but we should look in Hawaii, you know, what's going on there, but figure out the whole situation. It's like, all right. So when speaking about Joe and Hunter Biden's business dealings with Burisma, the Ukrainian gas company, Lindsey Graham vowed that, quote, he would not sit on the sidelines and just watch the Trumps get looked at. What about the Biden? Okay. Was this phone call screwed up? Well, what about the Bidens? He said, I can promise you no one has looked at whether or not there was a conflict of interest. This is Lindsey Graham talking. And no one has taken the time to explain how Hunter Biden got rich in the Ukraine. In Ukraine, he should say. And his father didn't know anything about it. Nobody has looked about whether or not when the prosecutor was fired, the next prosecutor dropped the case in Burisma. Somebody needs to look at it. I think people have. Like, I'm sure somebody has. He goes, as much as I like Joe Biden, if it were Lindsey Graham or Mike Pence or Donald Trump, you would be looking. He's talking to the press. He said, how many members of the Senate have children on foreign boards receiving this kind of money? Okay, that's actually a good question. It might not be zero. He says, I love Joe Biden, but... You know what I say? Anything preceding a but in a political claim can be ignored. I love Joe Biden, but I'm not going to sit in the sidelines and just watch the Trumps be looked at. I didn't ask for this. Biden said today that he would not testify in the Senate impeachment trial because Republicans are trying to turn it into political theater. The claim that the Democrats aren't trying to make this into political theater, I don't see how anyone could. Maybe they're doing it for the right reasons. Maybe it needs to happen, but they're not. Hunter said it was – okay, we're going to scroll up a bit because this is for the quote from before. Now, Lindsey Graham said, as for the Bidens, I can promise you – okay, scroll up some more. This is the same quote. God damn it. Again, keep going. Okay, so he was asked – Lindsey Graham was asked by a reporter, in your opinion, is Joe Biden corrupt? Here he does it again. I don't think Joe Biden's corrupt, but – He goes, I don't think Joe Biden's corrupt, but I don't think he's beyond being looked at. Here's what I would say. How many members of this body have children on foreign boards, blah, blah, blah. If you look at the money they took from Burisma, Kerry's stepson, Hunter Biden, they gave donations to a fund in Delaware on behalf of both. He says, I will tell you that Joe Biden is one of the finest men I know, but he's got to explain this. How did Hunter Biden get $1.5 billion to invest when he had been in business for 60 days from China? That I did not know.
I like if we just pick out the quote that says he thinks he's Joe Biden is one of the finest men he knows.
Yeah, yeah. But he's got to explain this. $1.5 billion to invest? That's no joke. But the thing is, there's this book by Peter Schweitzer, which kind of was a little bit DOA, because not only did they go after all this stuff, this is where it came out originally, about Hunter, but there's plenty of stuff in there about Jared and Ivanka and Mitch McConnell's family. And because it was bipartisan in who was criticizing, no one really wanted to touch it. And now the Hunter Biden stuff is completely blowing up, so we'll see if this... Talk about draining the swamp. I mean, if you want to talk about draining the swamp, this is the swamp. That people's kids are basically the back door to get access to the politician, and they get paid, and it's all stays in the family. This is very known. This has gone on for a very long time. That's how lobbying works. Like, I pay you, because I'm Exxon, whatever, I pay you $2 million, and all I'm buying is that you have this guy on the other end of the phone, and now I can talk to them, and they'll do me a solid. This is just how Washington works, and maybe it's inevitable. You know, Alexander Hamilton thought it was inevitable, and there might be something to that. Okay. Last thing we're going to cover. In the late 90s, when Bill Clinton was impeached, there's a lot now talk of, like, how is this impeachment similar or dissimilar to the Clinton's impeachment? Mitch McConnell's insisting they're running it in the exact same way. We saw earlier this week Chuck Schumer, Senate Minority Leader, insisting it's completely different, and here's four reasons why, and it's an outrage and a cover-up. Fine. Bob Barr, who was one of the House impeachment managers, he later ran for president under the Libertarian ticket. I have a picture with him where I'm looking terrible, so we're not going to run that. He was on PBS, and he was laying out what he viewed to be the differences between then and now. And I thought it was interesting to hear things from his point of view. He's from Georgia. Watch this.
Managers now and what we were faced with in 1999 are very different. In 1999, our job was much more limited and precise and clear because President Clinton had been charged in two articles of impeachment, as you will recall, with violations of specific criminal laws, obstruction of justice and perjury. Now, the job of the impeachment managers is far broader and perhaps a lot more problematic because they are trying to defend articles of impeachment that do not allege any crime. So it's a much vaguer standard, and I think is more difficult to explain both to the senators and to the American public.
And that's part of what is being discussed. What do you make, though, of their presentation so far? I mean, they had hours to present. They were talking about the rules yesterday. But in that conversation, certainly they talked about the merits of the case against the president. And we heard that certainly for a number of hours today from Adam Schiff, who's the lead manager, and then from the other managers.
While I don't agree with their arguments, I have to say that the managers have been very adept at using the time allotted to them for the purpose yesterday, for example, to defend or advocate for a certain rule or rules. They've been very adept at expanding that opening and arguing not only the merits of the articles of impeachment themselves, but introducing extraneous evidence that is not or should not be part of the record, that is post-impeachment evidence, even though the Senate rule for the impeachment trial here appears to me to not allow that evidence. The managers have been very successful in getting all sorts of additional evidence in, for example, relating to this fellow Lev Parnas.
All right, so that's what Bob Barr had to say. Interesting to follow. I mean, this is highly technical and so on and so forth. And frankly, I think impeachment is boring even to policy wonks. I there's just no sizzle to it online. I'm not seeing any. So, you know, we'll see what happens. So, again, programming note, I will not be here Monday or Tuesday. We'll have Dave Landau and Gina Visconti, respectively, I think. I will be back here on Wednesday. So it's Wednesday, Thursday, and then the Monday after that, it's Iowa. The first votes are actually happening in the Democratic primary. A lot of people are going to drop out right after Iowa. It's going to be wonderful to watch. I hope you all have a great weekend. And until then, I'll wish you sweet dreams.